Opinion vertical line. Can Glenn Youngkin save the GOP from Trumpism? The New York Times, November 4, 2023, 7 o'clock a.m. Get Guff. Glenn Youngkin speaking at a campaign event in Manassas, VA. Credit. Matt Ike for the New York Times. Share full article by Michelle Cottle. Ms. Cottle is a domestic correspondent for Opinion and host of Matter of Opinion, reporting from across Virginia. It's a perfect fall weekend in Virginia horse country, about 2 weeks before Election Day, and the American Legion Hall in Middleburg is decked out for a rally featuring Guff. Glenn Youngkin, who is not on the ballot but is stumping hard for his fellow Republicans. His name is everywhere, on a bright blue backdrop behind the stage, on the swamp in the front room, on the side of a bus out front with the slogan "Strengthening the Spirit of Virginia Together." The bus is a high-end prop for Mr. Youngkin's Secure Your Vote tour, which has him crisscrossing the state to promote early voting. His attempt to reverse Republican mistrust of early and absentee voting is one way the governor stands apart from the leader of his party, Donald Trump. But it is not the only way. Looking over the crowd, you can't help but notice a dearth of Trump paraphernalia. One woman has on a blue Nikki Haley for President vest, and another one is rocking a Moms for Liberty t-shirt. Virginia's Republican base has plenty of Trump love, yet it's not visibly a MAGA-rific gathering. This makes a certain political sense. Joe Biden won this county in 2020, as did Mr. Youngkin's Democratic rival in 2021. But the fact that Mr. Youngkin is aggressively campaigning in blue areas is not only a sign of his popularity, it differentiates him from Mr. Trump, who largely sticks to safe conservative spaces. As Mr. Youngkin bounds into the hall in his signature red vest, smile beaming, cheeks rosy from the wine, he radiates the upbeat, hunky-dot-t-dot-a-dot-dad vibe that helped carry him to victory in 2021. His voice ranges from an urgent whisper to a garbly rasp as he raves not about his personal grievances or some vision of American carnage, but about the common-sense plans he and his party have for Virginia. He spotlights a handful of policy areas: jobs, tax relief, crime, mental health care, education, and contends that Republicans and Virginians win when sensible people come together. Mr. Youngkin's sales pitch casts the GOP as a party filled with practical folks who want to get stuff done, as opposed to the Democrats, he charges, who just want to sell fear. Remember that fear line. It's revealing about Mr. Youngkin's brand of politics, but it's also about as edgy as the guy gets. His performance is a far cry from the MAGA. American politics is pretty bleak these days, with the House hobbling out of a month of historic dysfunction, with everyone exhausted by polarization and inflation, and now the turmoil over the war in Gaza. The race for the presidency looks like the same old, the country feels a bit beaten down. But the flip side of disillusionment is this: Americans are hungry for winners. And no cohort is hungrier than the Republican Party, which looks increasingly out of control as it contends with multiple epicenters of chaos. See, House hardliners. See, government shutdown threats and foreign aid fights. See, Ken Paxton, Clarence Thomas, Ron DeSantis, George Santos, and the once and possibly future president himself. Such are the fruits of Trumpism, with its glorification of disruption and middle finger truculence. In Tuesday's elections, Mr. Youngkin has a shot, albeit a long one, at emerging a big winner. If he manages to help turn the Virginia General Assembly solid red, it will be considered a victory not only for the state party but also for his style of leadership, so different from the Trump version. Mr. Trump may be leading the GOP presidential field, but Republicans haven't entirely forgotten that he dragged them to defeat in 2018 the House, 2020 the presidency and the Senate, and 2022 those winnable Senate and governor's races with Trump-backed losers. For all his trademark swagger, the MAGA king hasn't been a winner in a while. His presumed successor, Mr. DeSantis, despite his Florida triumphs, is looking more like a big meatball, and the rest of the GOP pack has yet to energize voters. This leaves an opening for someone like Mr. Youngkin, if he can offer a winning playbook and if enough Republicans decide they want an affable version of conservatism without all the crazy Trump trimmings. This is no easy feat. The governor is selling something softer than a MAGA vision, but he's not exactly moderate. His agenda contains plenty of harsh conservative elements, including anti-trans measures and his call for a 15-week ban on most abortions. Will enough people in the center actually want that? even if he swabbles those hard edges in feel-good vibes. And will enough people on the right want someone genial verging on boring when they remain enthralled to the fire and fury of Mr. Trump? Image: a campaign event in the Plains, VA. Credit: Matt Ike for the New York Times. Image: Guff. Youngkin's Secure Your Vote tour has him crisscrossing the state to promote early voting. Credit: Matt Ike for the New York Times. Since his surprise victory in 2021, in which he led Republicans in capturing every statewide office and flipping the House of Delegates from blue to red, the governor has been talked about as a presidential contender by those eager to move the party past Mr. Trump. Rupert Murdoch pressed him to run in this election cycle. Wilbur Ross, the former Commerce Secretary, threw him a schmooze fest in the Hamptons. Big money donors have dumped millions into his PAC. Some heavy hitters, aghast at the weakness of existing Trump challengers, are still hoping Mr. Youngkin will jump into the 2024 frame. As their dream scenario goes, if he succeeds in solidifying Republican control of Virginia's government, it will be such a feather in his cap that he can slide into a prime position among the pack. And if not, well, there's always 2028. At 56, Mr. Youngkin has time to watch where his party is headed and maybe even nudge it in a direction more amenable to his brand. One of his big themes this cycle is that the eyes of the nation are on Virginia, that other states, languishing under Democratic control, are looking to the Commonwealth for hope. And hope beats fear every time, he repeatedly tells audiences, sounding more like Barack Obama than a Trump or Republican. This kind of happy talk strikes many Democrats as rich, coming from a guy who won office in part by stoking parents' fears over what their children were being exposed to in public schools. But in politics, especially presidential politics, the messenger matters at least as much as the message. Whether a conservative agenda can win broad acceptance when delivered with a friendly face these days is an open question. Voters certainly weren't looking for that in 2016. Neither could Mitt Romney close the deal with his nice guy persona in 2012. For now, Mr. Youngkin may be the best test case of whether, at the national level, the Republican electorate still has any use for a champion who isn't in a grief bomb thrower. Joe Watts has faith, or at least hope, that Mr. Youngkin can pass that test. "I think he's going to save our party," she tells me the following Saturday as we wait for a rally to begin in Manassas. Ms. Watts used to be the executive secretary of the county's Republican committee. "I worked my buns off for 9 years for everybody that ran," she says. This included both Trump campaigns. But after the lunacy surrounding the 2020 presidential election, she recalls, "my heart wasn't in it." And so she quit the job she had poured so much into for so long. Image: Joe Watts. Credit: Matt Ike for the New York Times. Mr. Youngkin is giving Ms. Watts fresh optimism. "He's made us what my dream is to be, back to America. But not in a crass way. In a Youngkin way." And by that she means common sense, innovative, positive. You hear these themes a lot from Youngkin fans, along with gushing about how he's just a really likable guy. Rallygoers Garrett and Barbara Pentec trip over each other in praising him. "I'm a father," Garrett begins, "just as Barbara predicts. I think he'll be a future president." And Garrett continues, "He's the kind of guy that I would let take my daughter out." No question, Mr. Youngkin is good at retail campaigning. After his speeches, he all but dives into the crowd, shaking hands and posing for selfies. That 6'5", he has to lean down to engage with many of the folks. He beams at each one as though he or she is the most fascinating creature in the room. This is not to ignore Mr. Youngkin's substance. Republicans at multiple events extolled his parental rights agenda in particular. "It's a very common sense and universal American value," says Natalie E.R. Dossie, whom I saw at the rallies. A member of the conservative group Moms for Liberty, Ms. E.R. Dossie says that she is a former Democrat and that Mr. Youngkin is the first Republican she supported for higher office. Parental rights was a defining issue in Mr. Youngkin's 2021 win, and he continues to beat that drum hard. But 2023 is not 2021. And this cycle, the topic that looms large is one that has proved a drag on Republicans in many states: abortion. It is, notably, one policy area Mr. Youngkin is not talking up on his tour. And by that I mean the word did not pass his lips during any of the speeches I saw. Since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, reproductive rights has emerged as a mobilizing force for Democrats. and the party is now looking to hang the issue around Virginia Republicans' necks. Some conservative candidates are embracing the fight, but most seem eager to focus on anything else. Through mid-October, abortion was mentioned in over 40% of the ads from Democratic candidates for the state legislature, compared with 3% from Republican contenders. Mr. Youngkin is not avoiding the debate entirely. This is, in fact, arguably the most delicate piece of his experiment, trying to turn the abortion issue back to Republicans' advantage. He is pitching his 15-week plan as a reasonable compromise, and his PAC has poured $1.4 million into an ad campaign painting Democrats as dishonest extremists. On the trail, he comes at the topic obliquely, claiming the Democrats have nothing to offer but fear of what he doesn't bother to say. He doesn't need to, the crowds know what he means. At one of the tour stops, I asked him to unpack this charge. They're saying we're going to ban abortion. The reality is that they're the ones who want to change the law, he insists, noting that Democrats in the state Senate backed a constitutional amendment to codify abortion access. We support the bill to protect life at 15 weeks, with full exceptions for rape and incest and when the mother's life is at risk. We support common sense, and they support extremism. Except that a 15-week ban would, in fact, be a major change to Virginia law, which currently protects abortion access up to around 26 weeks. Also, the governor last year said he would happily and gleefully sign any abortion restrictions that passed the legislature. And, during his 2021 run, he was caught on tape saying, "When I'm governor, and I have a majority in the House, we can start going on offense on the issue." So you can see why abortion rights supporters might be anxious. "Are we scared?" asks Susan Sweckert, the chairwoman of the Virginia Democratic Party. "Hell yeah. We are scared about what he and the MAGA Republicans are trying to do.